The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
Now wait a minute.
Who's Sonic?
You know Sonic the Hedgehog?
This guy is trolling you. He is a Sonic the Hedgehog.
No, don't let her know I'm a loser. Yeah, it will come naturally.
He's a disgusting weirdo.
I love losers, alright? Because as a loser myself.
You must be a Democrat. You love losing.
This election, which will be, I do truly believe, the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election. Don't you hear that?
This is the most important election in our lifetime.
I certainly think it's the most important election of my lifetime.
This is the most important election of our times.
Politicians say every time, this is the most important election. This one's really that important.
You know what? You can't call yourself a loser today. You cannot. You cannot call yourself a loser today. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because you are about to vote. That's vote! Right. It's voting time. Get your ballots out. Get your pens and paper out. Get out the little stickers that say I voted. We got really cute ones this year. They've got like a crashing spaceship on them. A SpaceX rocket blowing up.
They have one of Bernie Sanders for some reason.
It's actually burning Sanders. He's on fire in this sticker. He's
wow, that's horrifying and on brand.
Yeah, he's saying he's like that dog that's like, this is fine. You know, he's got the mug of coffee. He's saying everything's fine, but it doesn't look fine.
That doesn't sound like Bernie Sanders at all. Because Bernie Sanders would be like, oh my god, there's this huge fire that's ruining the working class, and all you can talk about is this stupid scandal. Let's talk about the fire that's burning up the middle class. That sounds like Bernie Sanders.
And then I'll call Joe Biden.
You know what, I can't count to that.
I guess this is a story about corruption. You have that whole Bernie story about warning of corruption, but what happens when corruption just is in charge? What happens when the guy that's already mobbed up gets even more power? What happens when control shifts and influence shifts in criminal organizations? Sometimes people go into power that they were not fully prepared for. And I guess that's where both the Sopranos and today's topic come in.
That's right, and we're all here to vote, so let's introduce ourselves. Here in the polling booth today, you've got myself, of course, Kennedy Cooper. As always, we've got Brandon Buchanan, who has been contributing some great insight.
Already knowledge bombs. Yeah, hello, hi, yeah. It's great. This show, it's just been really good going through. I mean, it's funny, now doing this show, I count in my head how long it takes for stuff like Sonic to come up. We're definitely developing a culture as a show, and that culture is dreadful, so I'm proud to be associated with it.
We've got our in-house statistician, Andrew Fields.
I love Sopranos. I love how they can hit such high notes. It's great. I love Sopranos. Looking forward to today.
Yeah, and we've got our esteemed guest, ready to vote with us today, we've got Maria Guido, my good friend and just a famous person, recently featured in, should I say which publication?
Absolutely, please, this is great.
Recently featured in the Times of Israel.
Oh! Good job. Good. You did a thing.
You know how those kinds of mentions go these days. They most funny was they called you out for saying nice things about Luigi Mangione, which I think is just
That's my favorite thing about this is that because it's anti-Italianism. Right? Like they don't care about juvenile justice.
It is anti-Italianism. First of all, Italians
Did you say anti-Zionism or anti-Italianism?
It's anti-Italianism what's going on to Maria right now.
I love how most of the time we're like, yeah, let's make fun of the Italians. Until it comes to Luigi, and we're listen, like, whoa, right, buddy.
Murdering
whoa.
People and celebrating murderers is a really important, crucial part of Italian culture. It dates back thousands of years.
Absolutely. I mean, look, John Gotti, all right? Look, what did John... And all he was trying to do is run a plumbing business, right? That's all he was trying to do. It is really part of our culture. You know, they accused me of being an anti-Zionist, which, I mean, I am. But here's, guess what, Times of Israel? I'm accusing you of anti-Italianism. So I expect an apology by Christmas Eve, because that's the most important holiday for us.
And is this the next Christmas Eve or last Christmas Eve? Which year?
Well, I mean, they should have done it last Christmas Eve. But I'll give them some time, because you know they are losing the war. So
why Christmas Eve? Wouldn't Christmas be? I'm just gonna fall for this trap.
Well,
why
I Christmas don't believe Eve in Columbus. I think he's a piece of shit. But you know, like Dagos who have been assimilated, right? Like the ones that like vote for Donald Trump and like we came over here the right way. They are mad about Columbus. Fuck that. I don't believe in Columbus. Christmas Eve though. On Christmas Eve, Italians do this thing. They do, like, it's called the Feast of the Seven Fishes. And you have, like, seven different types of fish for Christmas Eve. So Christmas...
Oh, my God. Can I go to your place on Christmas Eve? Oh, my God.
We haven't done it in forever because a lot of our family's either dead or we don't talk to them. Because, again, part of Italian culture, grudges. And we don't even know why. But sure. I mean, I'll tell my sister, who, you know, I'll say, hey, I just met this dude randomly through a podcast, and can we do the Feast of the Seven Fishes for him? She'll probably say, yeah.
That sounds believable.
Yeah, so that's why I picked that, but...
Andrew, I hope that you are at least providing for some of the fish. I hope that at least three of the seven fish you contribute to, if they're holding a whole feast for you.
Yeah, I think it's like a whole...
You're
and
right.
Now,
you're
I don't
right.
know why. Anyways, thanks for having me on the show. I don't know how.
Yeah, we've had you on today to talk about, you know, the damage that anti-Italianism has done. By which I'm of course referring to the grip that Sopranos has had on an entire generation of young men. No, I'm just kidding. The Sopranos is a wonderful show, and we're going to talk about that today. But there are a certain kind of people that there's a certain kind of guy that loves the Sopranos that sucks a lot, and you know who I'm talking about.
I mean, that just sounds like you're describing guys in general.
Yeah, you know it's funny too.
Okay, in my defense, I've never seen The Sopranos before. I just know.
Oh, okay. So you're just basically saying to me that you don't like Italians. Oh, is this a trick?
Hey, I love Mario and Luigi. I love Wario, okay? Oh, my gosh. It seems like I'm not being very efficient in this conversation.
Yeah, so, Sopranos is a great show, though. You guys said to me, like, well, you know. There's only like six subjects I'm really, really good at in life, right? Like juvenile justice, trauma, like shit like that. But then there's things like, you know, Beverly Hills 90210, The Wire, and The Sopranos. Also being Italian.
I've seen The Sopranos. I just did a rewatch of it last year. And it was great. It's just a really good soap opera. There's so much ripping off of it, even years and years later. But honestly, so many shows after The Sopranos are just The Sopranos in different situations.
Yeah, I mean, and I always say, like, that, you know, I can't speak for, like, the mob stuff, right? Like, I mean, it's completely ridiculous. If people like that were dying, like, left and right, like, come on, it wouldn't have ran for 60. You know what I mean? The family piece, though, is so accurate. That's the part that I really, as I get older and like I deal with my own like intergenerational trauma, the family piece is extremely accurate. Culturally, like, and even like, because there are like Italians are different, right? Like regionally, like New Jersey Italians are completely different from Pittsburgh Italians, right? It's just like a different cultural thing. But the family piece is, it's very, very on point. Very on point. So I'm very excited. And, you know me with voting. Like, you're in line, stay in line.
In a situation with a power dynamic, who has more power? Is it the guy on the throne or is it the guy behind the throne? Would you rather be an official leader or would you rather be the unofficial manipulator of a leader?
Ooh, that's a good question because both positions scare me, right? I'm like, I don't want to be a fucking leader. But I guess I'd have to say, like, I'd have to be over, like, the manipulator of the, you know, behind the scenes of the leader or leader. I guess I would have to say it would be easier, I guess, to be the manipulator. So, yeah, I mean, but it's interesting if you look in the sense of, like, Tony Soprano, right? Because obviously, like, he was, you know, he was the leader, right? But, yeah, there were all these other people behind him. Like, there wasn't, like, one person that was manipulating him, all right? You had his family. Like, there was a whole family dynamic, and then you had the whole...
Yeah, I'd say Tony was the manipulator.
You'd say Tony was the manipulator?
Yeah.
Who would the leader be, then?
Junior.
But Junior, here's the thing with Junior. I would argue that it would be backwards because Tony is the head, right? And there was always this argument with him and Junior. And the interesting part about that is it wasn't only like the, there wasn't only like just the professional piece, right? There was the family piece and how close they were and things like that. I saw Junior as the manipulator, because then even if you think about the first two seasons with his mother, Tony's mother, Livia, who is I hope we talk about her. She's a fantastic character. She's a character you hate. But it's a very accurate representation of a specific Italian American. So that's what I would argue. Tony was the leader. Here's the thing with the leader, though. As the leader, you have to be on point at all times. Like, you have to be hyper-vigilant at all times because you never know what's going to happen. You never know when somebody's going to, like, get at you. And you're dealing with, like, crazy shit. So you're getting, like, calls, right, from, oh, yeah, we just got robbed. Oh, yeah, we're just this, that, right? Like, so I think that it would be scarier to be the leader, easier to be the manipulator.
Well, but also if you're the power behind the throne, though, you can get overshadowed by the people you create and lose control of them. And that's something we're going to talk about in this episode some as well. Not so much in regards to the Soprano, although that's also applicable.
No, well, this Junior and Tony thing, Junior just shielded, in my opinion, Tony from so much accountability. Whenever there was a really hard decision, he could always pretend that Junior was the person behind it, and he would leverage Junior behind the scenes to kind of make Junior look like he was compliant. Kennedy, would you rather be a leader or be the leader's whisperer?
I think I'd rather be the leader because I think you have more independence that way. It's bad either way.
Yeah. Andrew?
I'd like to be the guy behind the scenes. I don't really have a leader personality. I want to be the person whispering.
So we're not just here to talk about The Sopranos. We're also here to talk about a little president that we once had who was a bit mobbed up. You know, we have this president right now who kind of wants to act like a mobster, would kind of like to think of himself like a mobster. But what if we had a president that really was a mobster? And what if that mobster president had to make some really important decisions that would have historical ramifications forever? I'm talking, of course,
This sounds like this would bother.
All right. Oh, you're bringing more. Every time you make a pun, you've got to bring another fish.
You do. Yeah. You fire up to five fish.
I'm going to get. I'm going to show up to your place, Maria, with 100 fishes.
Undo the damage you've done to Italian culture. We are, of course, talking today about Harry S. Truman, America's most mobbed up president. And perhaps some of you don't know that, but we'll be getting into that today. The history
and just
of Harry
a P.S.
Truman.
That I am not a Harry Truman fan. I think they fucked over my boy Henry Wallace. Fuck them. Fuck them, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, Harry Truman was a mobster.
Yeah.
Well, when I was in third grade, I had to do a project where I dressed up like a historical figure. And for whatever fucking reason, I chose Harry S. Truman. So I'm so sorry. I owe you 101 fish now.
Yeah, the number of fish definitely has to go up after that revelation. Shocking revelation of anti-Italianism. Yeah, so Harry Truman was a product of the Kansas City mob political machine. At the time that Harry Truman got into politics, it was well understood that the Kansas City mob controlled politics in Kansas City. I'm speaking specifically of La Cosa Nostra, and one of the key figures at the heart of these this whole political machine at this time was Thomas Joseph Pendergast, a bit of a Tony Soprano of his own time in some ways. He was a quote-unquote, this is how Wikipedia lists him, and I love this. I would love to get everyone's reactions to this. Wikipedia lists him as a American political boss, which is the polite term what? For this guy did crimes and we don't know how to fuck to list him.
I mean, yeah. we have an era of American politics called Tammany Hall, which sounds just as old-timey and crimey as it sounds like. And it just sounds like, you know, that we definitely have an era of political bosses was definitely how we had things in the 30s and 20s and for just a while pre-war.
Yeah, we got to get back to those times, baby.
We just might.
I don't know if we want to get back. Yeah, we're back in those times right now. We've got a political
boss. Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. I'm forgetting about all of the bad stuff. Sorry.
We've got a political boss in our politics right now.
I'm just thinking of flappers and shit and moonshine.
No. Modern times, we're talking about Doge.
Yeah.
You know that cute little dog meme? Yeah, that's going to be associated with fascism years from now.
So from 1925 to 1939, for almost 15 years, Thomas Joseph Pendergast, a.k.a. TJ Pendergast, I'm going to call him TJ because that's shorter. EJ controlled Kansas City's politics as well as the entirety of Jackson County's politics. He just controlled it. Just one man. This is the guy who got Harry Truman into politics. This is the guy who helped Harry Truman get a place in politics after Harry Truman had failed as a businessman, and he owed quite a bit of money for a long time to many people. We don't know who all those people were, but it really is interesting to put together these possible puzzle pieces, right? Of like, Harry Truman comes out of the war, starts a business, sucks at it, owes a bunch of money. We don't know where all the money is necessarily owed to, right? And then suddenly he's in the pocket of the mafia and they put him in a judge's seat. Isn't that kind of just a curious set of things?
Kennedy, I can't think of one thing wrong with what you just said. Right, I do not see a single problem here.
He was such a failure that the only way, like, the Democratic Party was like, oh, like, we have to get him on the ticket because that's the only way he's going to become president. We know that FDR is going to die. Right? Like, he's not doing a fourth, or he's not doing a fifth term after a fourth term. Right? So let's just fucking put him in. And they fucked over Henry Wallace.
Sure did.
So mad about that, because, you know, I was born back then.
But TJ Pendergast, much like how Tony Soprano had his own troubles in life, TJ Pendergast had his own downfall. He got in a bit of hot water. Well, first of all, he was a compulsive gambler on horse races. And so he had started to accumulate debts of his own after a while. Oh, you know, he's supposed to be the money guy, and now he's running up tabs. That becomes a problem pretty quickly. He started to lose some of his good reputation. The governor of Missouri, at the time that he started to lose his political power, turned on him. This guy, I think it was Lloyd Stark, I'm pretty sure. My notes are a little jumbled, sorry. He had helped elect this governor of Missouri. But this governor of Missouri was a little more powerful than this guy. You know, this guy controlled the politics of Kansas City and Jackson County, but the governor, he was at the head of the whole state. He said, I don't need this fucking guy anymore. I don't know if he gave up his mob connections. I kind of doubt that. It was like a whole thing. And this did stain Truman's reputation a little bit. Not enough to keep him from eventually becoming president, but enough to cause disruption to one of his Senate reelection campaigns, or maybe his first.
Enough to stop him from becoming president is a big one. What a bar. Yeah.
But almost, it could have maybe stopped him from becoming president, because he almost lost his Senate reelection, which could have cost him, you know, the rest of his political campaign career had it gone down like that. After Pendergast was convicted of income tax evasion in 1939. At the end of his political reign. And he served 15 months in jail, and then he left jail in poor health, lived a couple more years, and then died. So he had it all for a while, but he kind of ended on a bit of a not-so-great note, all things considered.
God damn, dude. But that's what happens, I mean.
Yes, like The Sopranos.
I don't know if I'd say that.
I wanted to start to steer this question towards Tony's major flaws and what caused his downfall. What caused this guy's downfall, in your opinion?
Well, I think from what I've read, again, I think his addiction to horse racing was a major aspect. I think that he's a political, quote-unquote political boss, which is to say, he is a mafia-tied guy whose job is to funnel money into politics. Like, that was basically his job. To pick and choose people to put into politics, you know, to do that in a way that was favorable to criminal enterprises. But if you're supposed to be a money guy, and you're running up debts all over town because you can't stop betting on horse races very large amounts and losing, I think that's a pretty bad thing. And then I also think he picked a fight with someone he couldn't win to some extent when he tried to stand up to the governor. You know, even though he helped get that governor elected, it wasn't like he owned that guy. He was just one of several people that helped put that guy into office, and got a little too big for his britches, I think.
Tony was kind of in a situation where his britches out-britchered him, but he was sort of in a different situation because he was sort of tied into his region, and this is a situation where I don't know whether it's fair to say trouble found Tony. Tony was very arrogant in some of his dealings. But also, he got unlucky a few times. And just this combination of unluckiness and personal overreach, much like a Roman emperor, he had a rise and a period of stability and a fall. And I don't know, Maria, what do you think about, spoilers, by the way, for The Sopranos, a very old TV show. What do you think caused Tony's fall?
I mean, I think there's a number of things, right? Because they talk about this, you know, they talk about it in the pilot episode. He came in, you know, he says he came in on the last round, right, of the Mafia. Because if you think about, like, the time period, right, like, he had to have been active in the mob when Gotti was around. And Gotti, you know, has famously been looked at as, like, somebody who really, like, just took down the mob. I mean, he was, like, the first Mafia celebrity that, like, reveled in it, right? And, you know, that's why everybody talks about Gotti and references him. I think that Tony had a mixture of things. So I think Tony came in at the wrong time, right? Towards the end of it. I think that Tony also had, and which was the psychological piece of the show is very interesting, because Tony did have all of these, I guess, quote unquote deficits, which I would call childhood trauma, right? Like, he was born to a mother who was a narcissist, who was very, you know, not emotionally safe. Like, he didn't have both of his parents were not emotionally safe. One of his parents was, like, very active in the mob, and his other parent was, like, fucking nuts, right? Like, a narcissist. And then, you know, you have this piece of, because his childhood trauma, right, has been so suppressed, he starts having these panic attacks and he starts falling out, right? And it then, you know, you
Tony
see throughout...
also grew up, I just want to point out really quickly, Tony also grew up in a time of intense political turmoil in the city where he lived. So, like, not only was it, like, not safe to be at home, but it's, like, it wasn't safe to be anywhere.
No, and it was still that, like, old school mentality of we're still, it was, like, the still that old school mentality of, like, we're not welcome in, you know, WASP spaces, I guess, like, the white Anglo-Saxon spaces. Because when Italians came over, I mean, everybody jokes about, like, we're Italians white. Yes, we were white, right? We've always been classified as white. We still faced discrimination because we were second wave immigrants. So there were a lot of Italians who, like, couldn't get jobs, right? Like, so what happens if you're kept out of an economy? You start your own. I mean, he was still, but he was also, the thing with Tony is, like, he was connected because he was Johnny Soprano's son, you know? But I think too, with Tony, there was always, again, that, like, fear of, like, I feel like he tried to have, like, he would try to shut down emotions, right? There was always this discussion of, did he really have, like, antisocial personality disorder, right? Was he a sociopath? I don't know, honestly, because you see parts of him, right, throughout the series that he has emotions, right? Like, he has, there's a famous scene after his mother dies, and he's watching, I think it's Angels with 30 Faces, or Scarface, one of, like, the old 1930s movies. And the scene is, like, where, like, the character comes in, and he's talking to his mother and stuff like that. And Tony begins to cry because, like, he didn't have that relationship with his mother. So I think that there was a lot of downfalls with Tony when it came to being a leader, right? And then I also think he came from a family that was very mentally unstable, which you could argue that a lot of Italian families are like that. Sorry, I went off on a whole tangent.
I think, Brandon, you said one line in particular. You said that there was a combination of bad luck and personal overreach that led to Tony's downfall. I actually think that sounds a lot like the story of Tom Pendergast. Our real life mob character from Kansas City. I mean, this was a guy who, in 1925, consolidated power by getting 5 out of 9 city council members elected to be under his control, which gave him, you know, basically, like, he could just get city council to vote anything he wanted at that point.
Statistician note, 5 out of 9 is the majority. This is very bad.
Right, so it's like, you know, 5 out of 9 city council members were directly in the pockets of this guy, T.J. Pendergast. And then he tried to reach further and further, you know, like, he wasn't satisfied with just controlling. He probably should have just chilled on that and been like, yep, I control Kansas City, this is great. But instead, he kept reaching higher and higher to get to meddle with bigger and bigger political offices, such as helping Harry Truman get into the Senate and helping this governor whose name I keep forgetting. Yeah.
And Pendergast's money, I think one big difference between Tom and Tony is that Tom Pendergast's money all came from legal stuff. It came from government contracts. I mean, he really directly interacted with government contracts, patronage, bribery. When we talk about like a political boss, it was really the legal machinery that ran politics was where his money came from. Whereas Tony's was explicitly illegal stuff like gambling, like drugs, like construction. And, you know, Tom, more than physical violence, really just had corruption was his field of play. And Tony, you know, was in this alternative economy where violence came out once in a while. And really, I mean, when you talk about Tony's real downfall in the show came just because the misuse of violence where it's presented as a miraculous thing in the show. But if you're an intelligent person and you think about just the context of violence and how it's escalated over the course of The Sopranos, if you really think about the violence that you saw, you think, oh, wait, this is a totally unacceptable display of violence for the culture that I've watched for this show. If you think about it in that context, then you realize that it's actually a really dangerous moment for Tony. But if you think about it more in the context of, you've seen Goodfellas, you've seen this, you've seen that, and that violence happens a lot. If you think about it from that perspective, you don't think about it as in the same way.
And I think what's interesting about the violence piece, right, of The Sopranos is, and while it's, you know, outrageous and things like that, there are these crimes that Tony and Deb feel really, I mean, when they have to kill Big Pussy, right? Because, again, he fucking snitched. He was wearing a wire, right? Like, that wasn't, like, they had to do that, but you could see the pain that was on their faces, right? And I think that's what was about The Sopranos, that was, like, the violence, it was, like, glorified, but, like, you had this, there was this emotion behind it, because you gotta also remember, Tony had to kill, I mean, multiple people that he was close to, right? He kills his cousin in the fifth season. You know, I think one of the most interesting killings is probably when he kills Ralph in the fourth season, because that had nothing to do with the mob. You know, that had everything to do with... But let me take that back, because there's two killings that he actually does. Well, no, there's one killing that he does, and that is when he kills Ralph after Ralph burns the horse thing that they had down, and he kills Piomai. And that Tony was just so sickened that he killed a horse, right? That he, you know, he killed him. He strangled him to death, and then he fucking like took his head off, from what I understand, from what I remember. So I don't know. I think the violence that I know we kind of, I don't know if I went on a tangent, but I think the violent in Sopranos is interesting in the sense of like watching Tony and how he reacts to it, right?
For sure. I will say though, I mean, now TJ Pendergast, we don't know exactly all the things he was tied to, and he was sort of one of the more public facing sides of the Kansas City crime family at that time. So he may not have.
We know he was in the mob, but we don't know. There's no record that Pendergast was a real tough guy.
Right.
He wasn't blasting it out like Tony.
Here's what we do know is that the Kansas City crime family was involved with some real shit in that era. A couple of those guys went to jail for a long time. A couple of them were even deported to Italy.
Yeah.
Thrown out of the country and sent back to Italy. You know, a couple of them died. I think one of the more famous ones would be Charles, I'm not sure if I'm going to say this name quite right, Charles Benagigio. He and a couple of his lieutenants were fucking shot to death in 1950. This is, you know, right around the era we're talking about. Harry Truman becomes president when? Yeah, right?
We're not saying nothing, right. Of course.
And you know, right, he was still completely tied in with the mob in that era. And so, you know, I'm just saying that, like,
it was real enough. Yeah. It was real enough that FDR did not even tell this guy about all the details of the bomb until he got in there.
Yeah. Definitely, FDR seemed to have his reservations about this guy. Harry Truman's connections to the mob, they run deep.
You're tuned in to Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network, built for creators, activists, and entrepreneurs with something to say. Gripping audio documentaries, conversations that spark change. We're here to bring your ideas to life. Ready for more? Head to ghostcoast.video for shows that matter, tools to help you create, and a community that's totally redefining what a podcast network can be. Ghost Coast Studios, meet your dreams.
We're going to now get into a few questions. Sort of get the old imaginations flowing, get your ballots out, and get ready to cast some votes. At last, we've
this is how Bernie could still win.
This is how Bernie could still win. We've done our discussing of the candidates to some extent. Let's move into the voting challenge here. All right, so. Our first question is a pretty basic one. You think Tony Soprano could get elected to be a county judge?
No. I don't think Tony could. I personally don't think, because it's just not. Tony's like one of those like working class guys. You know what I mean? Like he's, you know, he went to college for, I think, like a semester and that was it, right? Like, and he was always, like when he was younger, there was never any like focus on his academics, right? Like, now Tony's very smart. Right? He's extremely intelligent, but it was always the focus when he was growing up was he's going to be a football star. He's going to be a football star. Then he, you know, obviously wasn't. And he became a, you know,
it clearly wasn't of the correct phenotype for that.
Right.
Tony, you know, if he starts talking to a room of more than 20 people, his palms start sweating. I don't see him just being able to take that kind of sustained attention.
Yeah, he's just not that type of dude. You know what I mean? You could see maybe like, I could see like Artie, right? The dude that owned the restaurant. The dude that owned Vesuvius.
Yeah, Artie.
But here's the thing, he wasn't involved in a mob, right? Like he was just a, you know, an outlier. But yeah, I couldn't see Tony.
Tony is such more of a dictatorial management style. It's so one-on-one. I'm the boss, and you got to do what I tell you. Like, that's a guy that you'd have running a car dealership or something. But maybe not a politician. Just some people would turn on him immediately.
So, okay, but I said judge specifically. I want to now broad. Do you think Tony could get elected via anything?
I mean, I think that he...
I feel like that county judge seat was pretty small scale. I don't think Tony could get elected to. No, I can't think of not even an HOA board. There's no Democratic body that everybody's freely voting. I don't even think they'd elect Tony to be president of his own family.
Like if it was Democratic rather than.
I don't think.
What do you think about that, Maria?
Well, I mean, I don't agree with the whole president of the family thing, right? I think because Tony was the leader of his, you know, family, blood family, right? And even
do you think he could get if there was a Democratic election?
No, because the thing is, in the family,
there's a Democratic election in the family to decide who's our mob boss. Is it,
So if it's a Democratic election in the family, if who is our mob boss, then yes, I think that they would look to Tony, right? But I think if you're talking about like just running an election, right? Like Tony Soprano.
Yeah, I just mean who's in charge of the family. just like whose orders, like, not, they don't have to be the literal mob boss of the Soprano family. Just, it's 8 o'clock on Sunday. If they all freely voted for who would be in charge, Carmella would probably win and not Tony.
Disagree. Highly disagree. She's going to go with what Tony says. And that is her role. That's like the role of Carmella, you know, as the Italian woman. They're going to defer to Tony. So I would say Tony, yes, would be. And it's just because of his demeanor. They would look at Johnny Boy the same way.
This isn't a truly free election. He says, after this election's over, I'm going to talk to you in the kitchen.
I think it's pretty wild that we're talking about this guy and we're like, man, could he, we're just trying to confirm that he could be elected into his own job.
Yeah, he would be elected into his own job. Out in the world, though, no, Tony Soprano would not be a politician. That's not his role. Right? Like, he is the quiet leader, right? Now, like, you piss him off enough, yeah, he's not going to be quiet.
He would be elected into his job. That's the one thing I think he would get elected right. into his exact job.
Yes, he would be, he is a good mob boss, right? All in all, he's a good mob boss. Political-wise, no. Because also, too, Tony would tell the Democratic Party to fuck off, right? Because if he's a Democratic candidate for something, you know he ain't really calling the shots. And that ain't Tony.
Yeah. I guess Tony could run. Because the thing is, Tony, I don't think, would run as a Republican because they're not going to win the election in New Jersey. I think he'd just run with whatever side was more likely to. I mean, it's New Jersey. No offense to Jersey.
All offense to Jersey for me right here.
But he's definitely gonna tell those guys to fuck off the first day.
Yeah, like, he's not gonna, like, lay low, right? Like, he's not gonna, like, take a call from Obama and Obama says drop out of the race. You know what I mean? So he's gonna be like, fuck off. Like, you're not gonna allow, like, he has that enough of an independent streak that he's not gonna listen. The only person I think that Tony was fearful of is his mother and Junior. And I think the fear was different, right? It wasn't a physical fear. It was an emotional fear with him.
Yeah.
I think those are the only two people, you know, not, you know, taking Carmella out of it, that had the biggest influence on Tony fear-wise, if that makes sense. But I think he would tell, like, you know, the Democratic operatives to go fuck themselves.
Times are really tough if you're electing Tony Soprano for your leader. Because he can be a prick and an asshole. But also, you know, when there's time to make a hard decision, he's willing to make a hard decision. He knows which of his crew to put in the loop for this issue or that one. He's really good at delegating individual tasks. He knows when to be tough, when to cut somebody a little extra slack. He's very good at his exact level of job.
Okay, I think all that's fair. I've got another question for you. If Tony Soprano was put in charge of Kansas City politics, he's a political boss in Kansas City in 1925. Now, TJ managed to hold the power of Kansas City politics in his hands for 14 years. Do you think Tony Soprano could do it for longer? Or do you think that he would crumple faster?
Ooh.
Well, that is a good question. I have a couple questions. Are we considering this actually 1925?
Yes, it's literally 1925.
Then I would say no, because if it anti-Italian sentiment, do you think they'd really let him get that close?
Yeah, tough time for Catholics.
Yeah, no, come on. Now, I know that this was, you're right in a lot of ways, but in Kansas City, the Italian mob ran things, all right? So
they ran things, but the thing is that they would never put an Italian in office, right?
But I'm not saying put him into office. I'm saying, you know, could he be like TJ? Could he be a political boss? Could he Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, he's got five city councilors out of nine in his pocket in 1925. Can he keep that going for longer than TJ did, which was 14 years? That's what I'm
saying. Does he have his team? Does he have his guys? And to what extent?
He has all the guys, yeah. He has his whole, like, basically, in this world, the Kansas City mob is largely his team. Or at least there's a, you know, they're all involved in it.
15 years is a great run. It's part of it. But, and yeah, you're right. It's just going to be harder for him in certain ways. But however, I actually kind of think so. You know, he really, over the course of the show, he had a great team. He had just the right players. And it was really just catastrophic events that disabled key members of his team. So given a redo, maybe this guy, and you know, Tony would not be in as much physical trouble. He'd have a lot more leverage. This guy, New Jersey, the climate, in terms of, like, you just think about Germans and wars, they have a different, they have a geopolitical atmosphere because of where they are physically. Tony hasn't had it as centralized in terms of a power structure in Kansas City. You know, in New Jersey, he's always got to look out for what New York is doing. In Kansas City, he'd have more of a big stick in terms of shipping and cops and the law, and he'd have a little more room to delegate, which he's kind of good at. Do we think that he would just get more and more greedy?
I don't know. I am going to point out that the Sopranos TV show only ran for six seasons over 8 years. So what does that say about the longevity?
He had a much tougher.
Tony
had a much tougher run as a street boss in Jersey than a political boss in Kansas City. Tony can go in there and tell the judge and the senator what's up. He couldn't really do that in The Sopranos. He didn't have the patience or appetite for it. But if we're just giving him that off the bat, then he can, I mean.
Yeah, we are just handing him at the start of this scenario, the five city councilors. He just gets.
That's always been his limiting factor, is how does he, just in terms of he's got two hands and a voice and his time and cash, and how does he get that loyalty? So if we're just starting him with that kind of power, I think Tony can probably succeed. I don't know if he'll succeed as long as this guy did, but he'll have more tools to work with. I'll put it like that.
I think what's interesting is this Pendergrass. I almost called him Teddy Pendergrass, like the singer. This Pendergrass dude, he was an alcoholic, right? That's what you were saying. So he had this vice. So something was.
Well, no, he was a gambler.
Oh, he was a gambler. So he had a vice, right? And that's kind of how he, like, you know, his downfall or whatever. I mean, you could argue that Tony's downfall is, you know, maybe, like, not, actually addressing his childhood trauma or whatever. I think that Tony could do it, but I think that, again, there would be multiple factors because, again, you know, not even with the time frame, think about the family dynamic. Is there a junior still there? Is Livia still, you know, in play? You know, what was Johnny Boy Soprano's, like, role? Like, I think that that's the other thing that with the Sopranos is a big thing. How his family.
Tony is very dependent on his support structure.
Right, and also, too, the fact of, like, who he, I mean, his relationship with Janice, which I fucking love, right? Because Janice, again, Janice is her mother. And I know, again, Italian women that are like Janice. Janice was a pain in the fucking ass to Tony. Like, he just, you know what I mean? But he took care of her. But Janice caused issues for Tony, right? And not only in his personal life, but in his professional life. But always made excuses for Janice or did shit for Janice, right? Like when Janice killed Richie Aprile, he fucking hides the body, right? And that's a made dude. Richie Aprile was a made guy. You're not supposed to do that in the mob. You're supposed to, you know, get permission. So I think the family piece, we can't forget about that dynamic. And if his family would continue, I think he, I don't know if he'd be able to truly handle it, right?
Yeah.
Assuming that his support structure is dropped in with him, I've given him all ideal conditions, because 15 years at the top is a long time for anybody who does anything.
Right.
So I'm giving him the whole team. I'm giving him the situation with Junior. I'm giving him cover. I'm giving him just whatever he needs. And it's such a good situation. It's honestly feels like you're taking an emperor from the end of the Roman Empire and you're putting him in a previous time in the Roman Empire.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right, though, because if you think about 1925, right, like if we're talking about this part, and Kansas City, their mob was wild, right, because they were in the middle, like they were like a hub, right, like of the right. East Coast and the West Coast. Chicago obviously played a huge role, but Kansas City, right, also played a huge role, and the mob had their hand in everything. And a lot of the reason that they succeeded in America is because you left them out of the economy when they moved here. They moved here for a better life, right? The Italians, they had their own bullshit shit that went on over there, right? And then you keep them out of their economy. So what are they going to do? They created their own economy, right? It's the same as you know, gangs. That's just what it, you know what I mean? You keep somebody out of an economy, they're going to create their own. And in the 20s, I mean, the mob was, everybody had a hand. And then if you think about the 50s, everyone fucking ran numbers. Everyone ran numbers. It was nothing, right? That's what you did for a few bucks. It was normal.
Right.
And then again, towards the end, right, with John Gotti and the way that John Gotti, right, was, you know, the Teflon Don, right? He was like our first like mafia celebrity. He would dress in these, you know, Versace suits and all this shit. It was over. You know, they really say that, like, you know, now there's still mob activity here and there. There still always will be, right? But it's not, it will never be what it was, you know, around that time. Right. And it is interesting to see, you know, how much the mob played a role in politics. And you know, if the mob existed right now, they would, Trump would be, that would be their pick, period. Period. They would not support they would have never supported Biden. They would have never supported Harris. And we talked about that actually, Kennedy, on the Worst Week Yet ones.
Yeah.
About how Italian Americans, right, like that, those second generation are very right wing, like this whole Trump type of, well, no, because we came here the right way, and it's like a very, like, it's an assimilation, you know, they've gone right over the years. You know, so it's, yeah, it's very interesting.
All right, I've got a new puzzler for you. So on November 1st, 1950, Puerto Rican pro-independence activists Oscar Collazo and Eliseo Terrasola attempted to assassinate President Harry S. Truman. They were not successful. They attempted to sneak in under the guise of some construction that was being done on the White House. Actually, a pretty sophisticated plot. Do you think that if you dropped Tony and his crew into October 1st, 1950, and tell them you've got 1 month to plan the assassination of Harry S. Truman, which is actually, I think, more time, or slightly more time than, a little more time than these folks had to plan, for sure. Do you think with a month's planning that Tony and his crew could assassinate Harry S. Truman?
This is a very hypothetical situation. This shouldn't get us called by the ghost secret service.
Yeah, we're talking about a president who's very dead.
Yeah, okay. what we're really talking about is just the marital skill of the Sopranos crew members, the Sopranos team members, and can they infiltrate? Can they assassinate? Can they, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the article now, and to be clear, they did not have a plan. What caused them to want to do this happened on October 30th, and the attempt was on November 1st. Yeah, so they did not have a plan. Yeah,
so I'm being real generous giving these guys a month here. In fact, maybe we should.
Kennedy, have you seen? There's a game genre that would explain this. Have you seen Dragon Age? Have you played Dragon Age Inquisition, or are you familiar with that series?
No.
In Dragon Age, you have your lieutenants, and you can send them to side missions. And depending on whether you send your lieutenant to a mission that suits their skills, they might get more experience or items, or it might be more of a pain in the ass, or you not get anything at all, or it just depends. It's just picking the right person for the job. So I would say that for Tony's team, Tony can get the right team, can delegate to successfully assassinate Truman. Like, I bet Furio could probably pull this off. And maybe Patsy could maybe do it. But there are other members of the team that would just be a distraction. Or, like, Christopher would be a good assassin for this on paper, but just a comedy of errors seems to follow
Christopher,
him in life.
Christopher would fuck it up. I think Polly would fuck it up. Patsy, I think, is a good one. And actually, I'm going to give you, you know, props for that, because I wouldn't. Patsy, right? Like, you don't hear a lot about Patsy, but Patsy was powerful as fuck, and they killed his brother, right? But he was loyal, and he was a good assassin. I would say the other one that could do it, Silvio. I think Silvio could be. Silvio was smart enough to be able to do things like that. Vito also was as well. Vito was a pretty good assassin as well. You know,
Silvio would be a guy who, if the idea of clipping a president just emotionally felt too hot for you, then Tony would say, I'm a God-fearing Catholic getting rid of the president. But Silvio, you got to get this done. And then Silvio would be, if he were to delegate one man to do it, if he couldn't handle it emotionally, then Silvio would be the guy that would do it.
Okay, I have a question. I have a question. Would the fact that this assassination attempt was over Puerto Rico independence change anything?
Them
being independent.
See, now I didn't know that there was going to be an ideology attached to this. What you're saying
they ain't doing that shit.
We tell Kennedy, we tell Tony, just in terms of
I was just giving Tony the order here. This is not a
Let's talk to Tony, because he is a psychiatrist, psychologically driven guy. So let's say we tell Tony, hey, we don't want to mess up the stream of history too much in all of this. I can't tell you too much. You're at a real interesting time in American history. But let me tell you, the American flag keeps waving. And I'm here on just behalf of, you won't believe this, the federal government. And it turns out we need the mob to go strong into my time and era. This guy, Truman, it just turns out it's good for your business and the business of the United States of America. And yeah, this is my official narrator. Look at this card. I work for the government. Yeah, it's good for everybody involved. If this one president gets whacked, you're the guy to do it. You're a late Roman emperor. Ha ha. You know, you're the guy we're going to send back with your team and your friends.
Okay. Now I'm going to take it back. I'm going to take it back, and I'm going to say yes, because then I also thought of, there is a great episode. I think it's in the fourth season. There's a big fight about Columbus Day, huge fight about Columbus Day. And like the indigenous.
Yeah, that's what I'm quoting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like a huge, I mean, because then like at the end, that, you know, Tony's like, this is fucking ridiculous. And he has this discussion with Silvio of like, you know, what it was like. Like, do you care? You know, you're Calabrese. Like, does it bother you that you're called Italian? And you're, like, all this, like, shit. I feel like Tony, that's the thing with Tony, is he has these moments of empathy for other people that you see, right? Like, throughout the season. So, yeah, I take it back. I think Tony would do it.
All right.
If it was good for him.
Tony's vaguely on the side of Puerto Rico independence.
Yeah. He doesn't want any of his kids. Well, actually, he did. AJ dated a Puerto Rican woman.
He didn't love that.
He wasn't too fond of that. Yeah. But after, you know, the whole Noah situation with Meadow, he was like, fuck. You know.
Oh, Kennedy, you've got no idea. Like, when we said this guy can't run for office, we really mean it.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe you. I've seen bits and pieces of the show, just not... I've never done, like, a complete watch. I've just seen bits of it since it's been coming out, you know, kind of thing.
I know is in chat when somebody says Tony, the rest of us are like, hey, Tony! Hey, I really treasure
big hit cultural experiences that I haven't seen or haven't experienced. Because unless I suddenly pass or something, those things are still there for me to experience. And, you know, we only have, you know, our lives might stretch 30, 40, 50 years, and we might be in a pod fucking mainlining chemicals and watching fucking vintage entertainment for the first time. So I try not to be too embarrassed if there's something like, oh, you haven't seen Dead to Me. You haven't seen 6 Feet Deep. You haven't seen, you know, it doesn't matter.
There's tons of things that I haven't seen that people have seen, especially at the older I get, right? Like, I'm like, oh, man, I start to feel real old, right? Like,
I've never seen The Matrix.
I haven't seen The Matrix probably either. I haven't seen The Matrix either.
Best Buddies.
Never saw it. All never right. saw it.
I would like I don't know to, why. End with this final conundrum.
Okay.
We asked if Tony could survive TJ Pendergast's life. What about TJ Pendergast in Tony Soprano's shoes?
How does he fare in the world of
one Tony episode? Soprano? One full episode.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think he lasts because Tony had his vices, but Tony was able to stop them when needed, right? Like, there was one episode where he was, like, getting really into gambling, but then he stopped, right? Or when he was, like, you know, just banging broads, like, cheating on Carmella all the time, you know, at one point he was able to stop. This Pendergast dude sounds like he just was, yeah, going just wild. Right, I don't think he could have lasted. I think I'll be extra, and I'll give him like 3 episodes.
I don't know. I think you guys are underselling this guy. I mean, he orchestrated some major mob moves in his time.
He did, but how are you the mob guy when you're also the addicted to horse racing guy? Like, I thought those were two separate guys. I thought the first guy always took advantage of the second guy. How can they be the same guy?
Actually, you know, Maria's right. This guy had a 15-year... We are comparing Roman emperors. This guy could survive maybe 3 seasons if we... But you could imagine it being one very good episode of The Sopranos that this pricking an asshole from the 1940s was just here bossing you all around in the Jersey mob. Some guy from Kansas City. I guess I'm also not giving him his team. And I would bet, you know, we have a lot more empathy for Tony's team because we watched them for years and years. But it may just turn out that this guy, Pendergast, has his own crew that he can't function without that's lost to history.
I'd say that. I don't know. I still think that I know that we're comparing, you know, like emperors, but... you know, I wish that the mob was still alive and that, you know, they would support like the candidates I would like in office. You know what I mean?
Well, you can always just make up. I mean, we have this Choya AV Club. You can always commission people to make podcasts, audio dramas, a book, novel, magazine.
I do wish the Mafia supported Bernie Sanders.
Short film jam.
I do wish the Mafia would have supported Bernie Sanders.
That's right.
This world would be a lot
Bernie
different.
Bernie Sanders Mafia fiction can all come true.
It can all come true.
Also, why not left of Bernie if you're already in the Mafia?
Well, that's true. Yeah, like a communist, you know what I mean? Like, let's fucking go.
Well, I don't know. We still need an economy to take advantage. We need an economy to rig
where's a middle ground then?
We live in an economy.
Bernie Sanders is the middle ground. The Mafia should have supported him. It's just objective.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Official take is the Mafia should have supported Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, that is what we got out of this podcast, is that the Mafia should have supported Bernie Sanders, and if they would have supported Bernie Sanders, we wouldn't be in the fucking, you know, craziness that we're in now.
That's
if Biden rigged the 2020 election. If Biden rigged the 2020 election, why didn't he rig the 2024 election?
Exactly. Because he's old. I think he's not. Where is Biden, by the way?
Nobody knows.
He's just biding his time.
Oh,
all right. Let's get the fuck out of here. We have voted. Thank you, everyone, for voting.
Hi,
Everett. Thank
Maria,
you for having me on.
Do you want people to find you? Do you want people to interact with you in some way on the internet or something like that?
Yeah, I still go on Twitter and bitch. Sandinista Olivia at whatever.com. I need to start using Blue Sky more. I don't know. I've been like busy, I'm trying to do more like offline, because it like rots your brain.
We should talk about all that later. All
right.
Let's get my dog out.
So.
All right.
Let's get out of here.
Thanks for voting.
Joining us, voting with us, and we'll see you next time.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.